We have a lot of needs, don't we? Or do we? We're told that the three basic human needs of the body are food, clothing, and shelter. And our Lord gives us these in great abundance. But when it comes to spiritual things, what things do we need spiritually? Well, we need salvation, redemption, grace, faith, forgiveness, mercy. We need all of these things and more. But what is the one thing needed? Jesus gives us a clue in the very familiar story where he says, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Martha was doing a great thing. She was serving. But Mary dropped what she was doing. And she sat and she listened to the words of Jesus. All the things we mentioned a second ago are things that we need spiritually, but they all have a common denominator, don't they? They have the Word of God. God, in His grace and mercy, gave us His Word, which tells us a story of how our sins were forgiven through the redemption paid in blood by Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit then works faith in our hearts to believe it. And it all culminates in our salvation. I got a cell phone. New cell phone this week. Yeah, I was due for an upgrade. And I was going back and forth between, should I get a smartphone or a more modest phone? And in the end, I opted for the more modest phone because, well, honestly, I could just see myself spending a lot more time with a new toy and less time with my Savior. There are only so many hours in a day after all. And besides, I didn't want to allow myself to think that I need a smartphone. Because really, I don't. It's nice to have, but I really don't need it. Now, this is not a judgment of those of you that do have smartphones. It's just an example of the ever-growing number of distractions that keep us from sitting down with Jesus. It's an example of how the definition of the word need is changing. And if we're not careful, we can develop so many needs that eventually the one thing needed will get crowded out. We need to remember who we are and why we're here. We are disciples of Christ. Satan tries to dilute that fact with cares of this world. Jesus told His disciples that following Him would not be easy. He told them that suffering would take place on their part on account of Him. On the day when He ascended into heaven, His disciples were suddenly sad because of the separation. You know, they had been following Jesus for 3 years in His footsteps, but they really didn't fully understand what it meant to follow Him. The time would eventually come when they would completely understand that adhering to His teachings would result in pain and persecution and even death. On many occasions, Jesus tried to prepare His disciples for this. He told them, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." But He braced them with encouragement. He said, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved." He also told them, "I will never leave you or forsake you." When things got rough, the disciples were not to complain, but they were to remind each other, console each other, of what He Himself had done for them and had promised to do for them in the future. And things would get rough for them. And how about you? Is life easy for you now, or is it hard? I suppose it's difficult to tell now. Most of you are only in your second decade or so. But there will be a time when you will be challenged by something very serious. Whether it's a major loss, or a life-altering event of some sort, you will be brought to your knees by something bigger than you that you don't know of yet, but God does. I think of Professor Lau. Right now he's in the hospital and undergoing a very serious procedure related to his heart. Now, I don't really understand exactly what's going on, but I do understand this. I do know that Prof. Lau, for instance, has had a lot of challenges in his life before, and those challenges have served to prepare him for today. He's ready for today. And whatever challenges await you in the future, God is preparing you for them now. He calls it a list of burdens called a cross. He said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Again, more earnestly, he says, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So how heavy is your cross so far? Perhaps you've seen the illustration of the young guy who has a heavy load to bear in this life. It's a real drag. And he asks God to lighten the load a little bit. So the cross is made lighter. His burden is easier to bear. That's him in the background with that cross slightly off the ground because it's lighter than other people's crosses. But it's still too heavy for him, so he asks it to be, you know, lightened up a little bit more, so more of the burden is eliminated. Life is a cinch now, piece of cake, until he runs into an obstacle, a really severe challenge. And now he's ill-equipped to face it. Other people find it easier to face their challenges because of the tests that they faced earlier in life. They were conditioned to lean on Jesus for help. This is not an illustration of work righteousness. It's a reminder of God's love as our good shepherd who gives us challenges. So instead of losing hope, we turn to Him. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. It's always easier to wrap your head around this passage when you are not presently going through troubles, somebody else is, but when it does come to be your turn, trust in Him. And this passage can be a nice consolation. A priceless consolation. Instead of dwelling on our own cross of burden and seeing no way of getting through, we are pointed to His cross and the merits of Christ on our behalf. He does provide the way for us. The United States of America has symbols, a couple of symbols that welcome travelers to her shores. The Statue of Liberty on the East Coast stands for freedom and is a welcome symbol to those oppressed people who have come a long distance to our country for a better life. And on the other coast, after a long voyage across the Pacific Ocean, the Golden Gate Bridge is a welcome sight to those seeking refuge in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And all that's well and good. But God has His own golden gates. Not sure what they look like, but when we enter those, we will experience true freedom and true consolation. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. We sing of this in the hymn on the screen.
need to meet with the soccer team briefly over here?